From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Oregon is a decidedly outdoor state. Our forests, beaches, valleys, and high mountain deserts are the envy of many. These varied environments, teeming with fish and wildlife, are also a huge economic driver for our state in the form of hunting, fishing, and wilderness visitors. And the ultimate authority over much of these lands is the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, or ODFW. And now, for the first time in the department's history, a woman holds the top job. Today on the show, you'll hear a conversation with Dr. Debbie Colbert, who was named director back in May, and learn about how the department operates and how they serve the public. From managing wolves to creating an inclusive and welcoming department, ODFW has to be many things to many people, but above all, tries to be the ultimate protector for Oregon's wild places. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is a sprawling organization that works to protect the sprawling wilderness areas in our state. Today, you'll hear from the new department director about how she wants to create an agency that both protects wildlife and also creates opportunity for staffers and wildland visitors alike. Dr. Debbie Colbert, the new director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, thanks so much for coming on and speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody understands a little bit about the department, but I wanted to just, you know, kind of, well, first, congratulations, of course, ascending to the new position as director, but maybe give us the 30,000-foot view of the agency, its mission, and the job itself.
Happy to do that. I guess I'll just start by saying that our agency mission is to protect and enhance Oregon's fish and wildlife and their habitats for future and present generations. And I will admit from the outset that I'm biased. I think it's one of the most important missions in state government. From my perspective, all of the people of Oregon have an interest in the care that we give to the state's fish and wildlife. It's critical to our economy, our quality of life, our communities. And honestly, I think it's what makes Oregon, Oregon. My job as director is trying to help ensure that our staff have the support they need to deliver that mission on the ground and to try to build the biggest and most diverse partnerships possible across the state to help deliver on that mission.
Okay. Stepping into the new role, I don't know if you have a 100-day plan or something to look at and say, okay, this is what I want to do. I wondered if you had sort of a priorities list for the department.
Well, I really, you know, as an agency director, there's the what might not sound very exciting priority, and that is we have to build our biennial budget. So okay. Just like every other state agency, one of my most immediate priorities is to build our 2025-27 biennial budget. It goes to our Fish and Wildlife Commission this week for their approval, and then ultimately on to the governor. And so that's really kind of the immediate focus that I have as director, just ensuring that we have the resources we need to meet our mission. Thinking bigger picture, my priority, and as I look ahead, is really a focus on climate resiliency and species adaptation. And I'll tell you why that's my focus. And it won't come as a surprise to your audience.
Okay.
We are grappling with large-scale impacts from climate change, drought, and wildfire, impacts on fish and wildlife species from fish and wildlife populations from invasive species, habitat loss, increasing demands for water and energy and land development. And so my priority as director is really to be anticipating the impacts that those things will have on our fish and wildlife populations and really trying to set up species so that they have the best chance of adapting in on a landscape scale to those kinds of changes.
Yeah. Well, and I know you've been at the department. You were a deputy director, and I know you've had a long career in this discipline. Gosh, Has it seemed like with climate change and with the fact that, you know, Oregon is now, along with other West Coast states, kind of this almost like ground zero for, you know, historic and devastating wildfires that are really transforming the landscape? I mean, in your career, has it seemed like this change that we're experiencing and now having to adapt to has really almost, you know, occurred at breakneck speed?
You know, I think it's hard for us as Oregonians, myself included, to ignore the evidence that we see just within our state mm-hmm. of those types of climate impacts that are happening, whether it's, you know, experiencing more wildfires and smoke, you know, just worrying about how we're going to meet kind of our future energy demands. And so just kind of as I shift from being a deputy director and kind of shift gears into the position of director, I do have a sense of urgency around how we prepare for the future and how we organize ourselves to deliver on our mission. Are we bringing the best available science to inform our decision making, and just kind of, are we putting all tools on the table to kind of address what species needs are going to be in the future and how we maintain biodiversity in our state?
Okay. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking to Dr. Debbie Colbert. She's the new director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. You know, I have heard that there's been some criticism of the department that, you know, it prioritizes the hunting and fishing population or users of our wildlands over other wildlife concerns. I just kind of wanted to get your take on that criticism and kind of how you view it.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. And I will say that hunters and anglers have historically funded as much and more than half of our budget through their fees, their angling and hunting and fishing fees and related revenues. And that has been very critical to managing fish and wildlife in Oregon and conserving and restoring habitat historically.
Yeah.
My philosophy is that everyone belongs outdoors and you don't have to fish or hunt to value Oregon's fish and wildlife. And frankly, when I think about some of the things that we have on the horizon, some of the things that you mentioned, I think we need as many people as possible to care about those resources and how we're going to sustain that biodiversity in the future. And so my approach is going to be to just continue to build and expand our partnerships, try to bring as many voices to the table to help us think about how we meet our mission, especially given the challenges of the future. And then also continuing to connect everyone to the outdoors, because I think that that's how we stay connected and continue to care about what we have in Oregon.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about this concept of collaboration. And I asked that question sort of like this. You're the head of a very important department in our state government. But of course, there's other departments, you know, and there's our elected officials. And then of course, there's these interests, these audiences that utilize the outdoors. And there are trade associations and other groups. Maybe talk a little bit about both your philosophy around collaboration and maybe just how it works in practice, because you certainly highlighted something that's incredibly important. We are living with climate change and we need to act. And so I'm thinking that in order to achieve your mission, but also achieve so many other missions that the state wants to do, there has to be a lot of collaboration, doesn't there?
Absolutely. And honestly, that is really kind of the backbone of our agency, to be honest. And I can't take credit for that as the most recent director. It's truly how we have always operated. The only way that we can sustain our wildlife in this state is through collaboration. Our agency, for the most part, is not a regulatory agency. And so we rely heavily on partnerships, on volunteers, on so many others to implement our mission. And that shows up in so many ways. I mean, it really is about engaging in conversations sometimes some really tough conversations, as you can imagine, and being willing to listen. So what that looks like is showing up, listening, bringing good data to the table to help us look at different alternatives for sustaining populations while also meeting a lot of different societal needs, and then being willing to look for solutions. And again, from my perspective, that's how our agency has always operated, and it's something that I value and will continue to emphasize as director.
And I imagine, too, part of the job and part of the department's job is education. Obviously, you know, it's understanding wildlife can be a challenge just because obviously, like you said, you know, sometimes science might be counterintuitive to what, you know, the consensus or the conventional wisdom might be. Talk a little bit about that aspect of helping your audiences, your constituents, state legislators, the governor, that idea of education and communication and, you know, to bring about that kind of effective understanding.
Yeah, and, you know, again, this is what our staff across the state do every day. So, and I'll give you just a simple example.
Okay.
Someone calls our office because they're having conflict with wildlife. You know, whether they're a farmer and they've got elk on their property and damage, or they live in a neighborhood, in an urban setting, and they've got raccoons in their backyard.
Yeah.
You know, so often our role is engaging with folks, whether it's those individual examples or bigger picture policy discussion with legislators, and just helping them understand, you know, kind of why, you know, more about how wildlife are adapting or occurring in their space and what our options are and how to kind of coexist. So those are the kinds of things that we focus on in just day to day, the kinds of conversations that we have.
Yeah, yeah. You're also the first woman to ever ascend to that position. I kind of wanted to ask you a little bit about that in terms of, you know, because you're in a leadership position, you know, what might that do to encourage more women to seek positions in the department, but also to continue to seek leadership positions throughout state government?
Well, I should say that I'm very honored to serve as the first woman director of the agency. And I have to say that I'm grateful to all of the folks that went before me. Today, I'm very proud to see women thriving throughout our agency, whether they're running hatcheries, managing our wildlife division, or overseeing our field staff. You know, we really have seen leadership diversity grow in our agency over the last few decades. And I see my responsibility as working intentionally to continue that momentum, to create a culture where diversity is seen as a strength, and to really not just kind of use it as aspirational, but to put that into action in terms of kind of, you know, everything from our workforce to the people that we serve, and just continuing to emphasize that as a strength in the years to come.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And certainly, I mean, you kind of brought it up, this idea of users of our wild areas. That's certainly been, you know, an emphasis I know from different organizations is the fact that, you know, the larger majority of Caucasian people in our state, and this idea of, you know, it's certainly there for everyone. And the idea of making the user experience catering to our very diverse population.
Yes. You know, and I think that this is something that we have work to do on this front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we make the outdoors accessible and safe for everyone? And this is an area of focus for us. And we've made some progress, but we do have work to do. We look at kind of who is feeling like they are able to access the outdoors, and what is our agency's responsibility and opportunities to help everybody feel that the outdoors is accessible to them in Oregon.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting. You were talking about, you know, when you get calls from people about animals in our more urban areas. And I'm thinking, you know, gosh, you know, just in the last few weeks, there have been stories about, you know, certainly down here in Eugene, there was several bear sightings. And of course, you know, there's been another wolverine sighting in Oregon. And I kind of want to ask you, you know, from your position, how should the public kind of view that? Because I'm thinking, you know, certainly there could be a view, a very positive view, that these you know, keystone species are being seen. But of course, you know, there's also the idea that, you know, a bear or something, a large predator, can become dangerous. You know, I just wanted to hear from you how folks should see, you know, perhaps animals that they weren't seeing in more urban areas are now, you know, making appearances.
Well, I have to say, I think I'm like so many of us in Oregon. We've all just been so excited to track the appearances of the wolverine in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's just kind of exciting and fun. And but when you think about, you mentioned kind of bears and, mm-hmm. and other, I think, predators in particular, you know, part of what we do in terms of educating folks is to understand predators. And a good example of that kind of outreach is just about a week ago, we co-hosted an event called Coyotapalooza in Portland with a number of other partners. And the event was really just engaging the public on understanding coyotes, that, you know, that's a predator that we see more and more of in kind of the Portland metropolitan area. And just kind of understanding coyotes, what things you can do so that you are kind of being responsible in your own space about attracting predators into the area, how you can stay safe, and just really kind of understanding those animals more. Yeah. And I think the same applies to other types of predators that yeah. might occur or people might experience rarely, but, you know, occasionally.
Yeah. Well, and sort of a kindred species, if you will, of coyotes. You know, obviously wolves in Oregon is a controversial topic, and I don't want to get into it all, but I did want you to just kind of talk about explaining to the audience what is ODF's or ODFW's role with regard to the wolf population here in Oregon.
Well, we manage wolves like other species in the state. We have a wolf management and conservation plan that was adopted by our commission. And that really guides how we manage wolves within Oregon. It is a little bit more complicated because some parts of our state also are federally listed. So mm-hmm. we also have to kind of share management responsibilities in those parts of the state with our federal counterparts. But for the most part, our goal as an agency, and it's really kind of the focus of our management plan, is to recover wolves within the state while also seeking to minimize the conflict between wolves and other folks in Oregon. Okay. And so, you know, it's a very challenging place to be as an agency. You know, this kind of balancing act that we do in terms of wolf management. But I will say that I think that Oregon has a great plan for managing wolves, for, you know, trying to kind of address conflict. And we are continuing to add new strategies and resources to try to be successful with our implementation of our plan.
Okay. Dr. Colbert, talk about sort of, you know, how you want the public to interact with ODFW. Kind of talk about this, you know, the concept of transparency. Just talk about the ways in which you want the public to see the organization and the people who are in it.
You know, in so many ways, I honestly think that ODFW is one of the faces of natural resources in our state. And I think that, you know, people may not understand how far-reaching our footprint is. We have 93 offices across the state, 33 hatcheries, more than 200,000 acres of land for wildlife habitat and public access. So, you know, on a day-to-day basis, we are out there interacting with the public, everything from the kinds of examples that you and I've talked about, kind of living with wildlife, to interviewing anglers as they come in from a day of fishing, to folks coming in and wanting to learn more about wildlife in our state. I think that in terms of transparency, I would just mention that we put a very big emphasis on transparency as an agency. And I think that a really good example of that is our Fish and Wildlife Commission. Our Fish and Wildlife Commission travels around the state for its meetings. And even as they travel, every one of our commission meetings is hybrid. There's streams, there's opportunities for people to provide testimony. And we do that because we really value feedback. And we listen to that feedback as we think about how we manage fish and wildlife in the state. And so, you know, again, as director, I continue to support and focus on transparency and ensuring that Oregonians feel like they have access and opportunity to engage with the agency.
Well, Dr. Debbie Colbert, the new director for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, really appreciate you coming on and talking with us.
Thank you so much.
That's the show for today. In case you missed any of this or any other episodes of Oregon on the Record, all the shows are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Next week, you'll hear a special Oregon on the Record while I'll be joining with other community members to rappel off the Hyatt Hotel at Oakway Center as part of CASA of Lane County's Over the Edge event. I'll be virtually bringing you with me as I, hopefully, make it safely from the top to the bottom. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.